Scripture reading for today is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
All right, good morning, everybody. So what is your first thought when you wake up in the morning? Is it, I've got a lot to do, got a lot on my plate, don't know if I can get everything in today? You know, do you start out that way? You know, do you start out with God, thinking about God, and thank you, God, thank you for another new day? Sometimes I do that latter, but I have to say, I'm one that sometimes wakes up with, oh, I got a lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff to do today, a lot of things, don't know if I'm going to be able to get it all in. We feel behind, rushing from task to task. That can lead to frustration. You might even say that when we come at life that way, sort of from I don't have enough, or I don't know if I can get there, I don't know if I can get it all in, I feel like I'm always, you know, rushing from place to place, have to hurry, that frustration, devil uses that, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Living underneath our lives, like swimming underwater, like we can never feel like we get to the surface, you know. But the light is there, right? You know, the light is just up there. If we can live on top of things, you know, rest, you know, on the top, on the surface of life, rather than always trying to, you know, work ourselves up to it. We're living in God's realm when we're doing that. Thought of not enough can be a default setting for our thinking about a lot of things. It can be our default setting for our thinking about God. I don't pray enough. I don't read scripture enough. I don't spend enough time with God. I don't spend alone time. I don't get to worship enough. You know, there's endless ways that our mind can work on us around this. And it becomes the reason we don't step out in faith, and an excuse for giving up on people who disappoint us, sometimes compromising our own integrity. We even give up on ourselves. So we say, you know, this is just reality, right? This is the way it is. We live in a packed world, you know. The internet and everything else that we have helps us do more, you know, get more done. So there's more on our plates. And we just don't have time, right? We don't have time to fit it all in. Back in the 1700s, Adam Smith took this understanding to its limits, concluded that economics can be described as the allocation of scarce resources through the process of individual greed. Wow. When you say it like that, it's like, that's not me. Except that understanding has sort of been underneath our way of living for a long, long time. Trying to get more, grabbing for more. If you think of it that way, if you think that we always need to get more, then the people that have a lot should be happy, right? I mean, the people that have that have been able to be successful, you know, that are that you know, have all that they could ask for? Shouldn't be living it with this sense of scarcity. I mean, there's one thing about our, you know, my grandparents who lived through the Depression and really it being scarce, right? There wasn't things. And some of us live in a space where there isn't a lot. But for most of us, it's just not the case. However, in our heads, it still works that way. Or it can work that way. It doesn't have to be, but it often does. It doesn't seem to matter what strata of society we're in. In fact, actually, people who have less seem to think that they have more. Have you seen those studies? People that have less actually give more percentage-wise. They give freely. They're not as attached to what they have. The things that we have can sometimes weigh us down. We've lived for a long time with the belief there's not enough to go around, thinking we have to fight to get it. Our grateful hearts, sometimes we're able to click into them. Other times, not so much. Situation in Jerusalem in the scripture reading, there was a famine back in Jerusalem and in Corinth. Actually, the scripture's about for the Corinthians. Paul is taking up an offering. So he's taking up an offering in what is today Turkey and Greece and the churches there to help the people back in Jerusalem with their needs. And he's already talked earlier in this chapter about Macedonia responding very well. And Macedonia was a relatively less resourceful congregation, but they gave generously, is what Paul says. So now his question is to the Corinthians. So what about you? You've said you wanted to respond. How are you going to respond? Where are you going to respond? Out of gratitude? Out of a fullness or out of your scarcity? So, he says, God is able to bless you abundantly, that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you hear the alls? Not sometimes. God blesses us occasionally. Sometimes we have what we need. Maybe if we get a few, little bit more, you'll be okay. No, it's all times. Blessing us always, abundantly, that in all things, all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Those are strong words. Goes on at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgivings to God. When we sow sparingly, we come from a place of scarcity. When we just give like a tip to God, have you heard that expression before? When we give to God a tip, now I like it when some of the restaurants where you sign on the screen and it says tip amount, 15%, 20%, And then at the bottom it says, or other. Yeah, how do we look at this whole thing of giving back to God? What do we do with that? God wants us to give out of gratitude, not out of guilt or duty. Give out of gratitude. Better that we give a little bit out of gratitude than we give a lot, but we really are begrudging every single bit of it. God wants us to be invested in what we're doing, invested in the amazing things that God can do through us, through our gifts. God blesses us abundantly in all things. We can abound in every good work. So God does a lot for us. There's no sign of scarcity in God. When you think about all the qualities of God, it isn't scarcity, it isn't lack, it isn't, but God doesn't have this, or God won't give this. God is missing this piece. Quite the opposite. God's way with us is abundance in all situations. God never runs out. Think about that. Everything else runs out. There's no limit to God's love. There's no limit to God's grace. We set limits. We live with them. God does not stop. God is able. God provides. Think about what you do have rather than what you don't have. And think about what God is giving you. Okay. When we are able to come from that place, we rest in a great fullness. A great fullness. That's that overflowing abundance, overflowing our banks. It's a saying that happiness doesn't make you grateful, gratefulness makes you happy. Do you get that? Happiness doesn't make you grateful. When we come from happiness, will make us grateful. We're always looking for happiness. That makes me happy, that didn't make me happy. You know, that's a good thing, that's not a good thing, and we measure all the time, and at the end of the day, we think, okay, I had a few things that made me happy, I guess I'm happy. Happiness doesn't make us grateful. When we start with gratitude, have you ever noticed this? When you begin with gratitude, the happiness follows. When we begin with, thank you, God, for what you're giving me. Even if you don't feel it at the moment, we sometimes have to train ourselves into this. Thank you, God, for what you're giving, what I'm surrounded with. We miss the 99% that we focus on the 1% that we really wish we had. Look at the bounty. Look at the bigger picture. So, having more doesn't make us abundant. It's understanding that we are abundant, so then we realize how much we have. You get that? It's not give me more, and then I'm abundant, because when we're in that give me more, we never feel abundant. We always feel like we're lacking. We're never quite there. But begin with gratitude. Begin with abundance. Begin with fullness, great fullness. And then it leads us to wanting to share. It's almost like, of course, you know, it's like obvious. Of course I'm going to give. I want to give. That's where the grateful giving comes from. God loves a cheerful giver. Actually, in Greek, it's the hilarious giver. We should be enjoying this thing. We look at this as hard, drudgery, I'll write the check, whatever it is. Don't really want to do it, but I'll do it. Doesn't have to be that way for us. A woman named Gertrude, this was in a church in Harlem a few years ago, and it was a fundraising activity for a mission in Africa, and it was a poor church. I mean, it was raining and there was, water coming in everywhere, buckets around the place. This woman stood up at the end of the presentation and said, "My name is Gertrude and I got no checkbook and I ain't got any credit cards. To me, money is like water," she says. "For some folks, it rushes through their life like a raging river. Money comes into my life more like a trickle. But I want to pass it on in a way that does the most good for the most folks. I see that as my right and my responsibility. It's like water. It's supposed to keep moving. It's also my joy," she says. "I have $50 in my purse that I earned from doing a white woman's wash, and I want to give it to this project." So she came up and put her $50 in the basket up in the front. You know what happened after that? Everybody else sitting out there started coming forward. And the person holding the basket was overflowing. $20 bills, $10 bills, whatever, $50. All this money in this little old church in Harlem raised $500 that night when they didn't think they'd raise much of anything. So proportionately, that was an amazing night. Money's like water. We get it. It feeds us. It nourishes us. And we pass it on to the next so that they can receive as well. You know, the Heifer Project, I asked this land, do we? I figured that. Glenmar's involved in the Heifer Project. You know what I'm talking about? So the animals go for food, right? These go to hungry places, goats, rabbits, not just heifers, all those things. Goats, camels, everything, right? Do you do that, Marie? Your parents did that? Oh, wow. Okay. Neat. Okay. So there's the heifer. So one of the cool things about Heifer Project isn't just that we send these animals. We used to have Heifer Project out in New Windsor. I visited it there. Is that where they're from? That's where your parents met. This is why we do sermons. You thought it was about all this other stuff. It's really about this, isn't it, Marie? Oh, that gives me goosebumps. Might be giving you goosebumps. And I didn't even know I was going there this morning. But I think I am. Anyway, they would have these, like, perfect animals, right? They were, like, unblemished animals. It was cool because they were out there. They had their little pen for them. You could see them. And you knew these were going somewhere to feed some hungry family or community. And that was wonderful. And it is wonderful. It's still going on. It's just not at New Windsor. But the thing about it is they would have it. And once they had the offspring of the animals, they were supposed to give them away. Wouldn't you think if you were poor and you had very little to begin with, that once you started getting offspring, you would want to hold on to them? And yet, that is not the Heifer Project. You are not participating in the Heifer Project if you hold on to your animal. You have to receive it with gratitude, and then give it with a sense of joy, with a sense of wanting the next person to, or the next family. Because only the understanding is only in this way. Heifer Project by itself can only do one. But if everybody does this, it multiplies. Marie could be up here telling this story. It multiplies. Our gifts multiply when we give them away. So we sponsored a refugee family a few years ago from Bosnia, the Abahovic family. And it was a mother and father and the son, kind of grown son. Dad got like two or three jobs, you know, it was unbelievable, to try to get some income. Mom worked at, the rest stop on 95, what do they call it, travel place. She worked there in the thing. They didn't, you know, they came with very little. They came out of the Civil War, so there was really post-traumatic stress going on in the family as well. So we were supporting, you know, we helped them get started and everything. So they would take buses or walk wherever they could or take buses. Ended up living in Catonsville where the buses were going up and down Route 40. But dad wanted to buy a car, and it had to be a Volvo. Well, you can buy something else over here. You know, we have a lot of, no, I'm getting a Volvo. It was like 15 years old. He's a mechanic. He fixed up this Volvo, so he's driving the Volvo. This is a refugee family, right? Driving the Volvo, and it was kind of a neat thing. But as soon as he got a little bit further down the track, you know what he did with the Volvo? He gave it to another refugee family. He gave his Volvo away. You're giving the Volvo away? Yes. Yes. Really? Yes, somebody else needs it more than I do. Somebody else needs a help. Somebody else needs to get to the next place. So here's the thing, folks. Scarcity is a lie. It's not presented that way. It's powerful. It's been passed down to us as natural and right. But it insists on itself. You know, it demands, it discourages questioning its foundations. It's there, right? So what are we going to do with it? Here, let's look at a few aspects of it. First, the first lie is there's not enough. When we define everything as not enough, when we define ourselves as not enough, our church is not enough, you know, our families is not enough, when we come from that fear of losing always or being left out, we focus on when we do get a little, we want to take care of our own. So it's like we're just going to hold on to whatever we've got. Sit, you know, there's only so many seats at the table, and we're going to provide for us, period. We're really not going to worry. Maybe we'll give a little tip once in a while, but basically, we are focused on ourselves. Well, it doesn't have to be this. We are blessed when we let go. When we let go of that. When we invite other people in, when we say there's always more room at the table, there's another seat. It doesn't have to be just our seats. God continually gives. So when we are giving, we're doing what God does. We can't outgive God. God is always doing this. We gain when we follow God. Psalm 147 says, He provides food for the flocks and herds. He makes green grass to serve humankind. Think about what God does all the time. Feeding us. Giving us what we need. Pastor Andrew reminded us last week of God's provision to Glenmar. How often did he say, and God provided, and God provided? And we thought we ran into this wall, and God provided. And we thought this wasn't going to happen, and God provided. And we thought that we'd never be able to get this, and God provided. How often did he say that last week? Over and over and over. Was we always think, no, you know, our default. Yeah, it's been good so far, but at this point, not. I don't know, right? I don't know if I can trust God. Pastor Andy was saying, yeah, we had that many times in this church. And every time we were able to find the next place, God led us to the next place, literally to this next place. And God's going to lead us to the next place too. You know, if God has been this faithful this long, does God say, okay, you had your limit. You know, you hit your point. You know, you've got your... No. God's going to continue to give to us, continue to give to our church, continue to give to each of us individually. Yes, we run into roadblocks. Yes, we run into hardships. Yes, we have losses. Yes, we have some pain that we're dealing with. Questions, doubts. Yes. Doesn't mean God's going to stop giving. Those things don't stop God. In fact, that, if anything, that kicks God into overdrive for blessings. Even at the worst, even when we're at the bottom of the bottom, some of us have seen that. What do we find at the bottom? God. God is providing there. So, there's not enough. That's the first lie. Secondly, more is better. If there's not enough, then more is always better. However, the rush for more winds up distancing ourselves from what we already have. If we always need more, then we miss what we have. You notice when you're eating fast, and I need to eat quicker, and you miss the savoring of the food. And sometimes we slow down. Maybe that's why we go out sometimes, because we have to slow down. When we go through life always grabbing for the next thing, we miss what we have, right? About this question, this hits home for me because I have a 5-year-old granddaughter. Does a 5-year-old need all of the over-the-top party gifts and events that we do where they almost become competition, or they can become that way? We're going to outdo that one. We're going to do this. It's got to be better this year because she deserves it. She needs it. Does she? Is she looking for that? Would she be happy with a few really wealth, you know, gifts that make a difference? So could she still feel like she's loved? Does she need all of that? In the more mentality, more is better, then we always have to have a better, whatever it is, it has to be better. Very hard to get off of that, isn't it? But when we do that, we miss what Pastor Jen said to the confirmation class last week, which is the most important thing about us is we are all children of God. Not what we have. God doesn't see us that way. God sees us as beautiful creations, beautiful expressions of his amazing love. Not what we happen to get or hold on to. That's number two. We have all we need right now. That's the counter to we need more. And number three, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. There's some truth in that, right? There are limits. There is, we don't have everything. We're not just living in an ocean of no limits. There are limits, but they're not limits the way we think about them. Actually, think about it. The limits help us see what we have. If everything was always coming at us, we wouldn't even realize what we have. Actually, that happens. But the limits are not a bad thing. The limits are actually a sign of God's love too. Rules actually help us. Having some kind of a discipline helps us. Having some limits are good, but we take limit as, that's the way it is. I have to live in this, limited, scarce place. It makes us feel helpless and can lead to cynicism, resignation. We back off from our commitments. It's the way it is. You know how it is today. I can't do this. I'm not going to be there. I can't, not just what we do with our finances, but what we do with ourselves and how we contribute, what we do, where we give, how we live. We have to be willing to let go of that's just the way it is, to consider a bigger reality of that's not the way it is. God's way is the way it is, which is the way of abundance, which is the way of giving, which is the way of loving us in so many different ways. There's more to our story with God than the limits, which are often of our own making. So there is enough. God continually gives us all we need. Think about that. Thank you, God, for giving me all I need. We invest in the future in a hope that God promises to be faithful to who God is. This is who God is. God doesn't change. God hasn't shifted. God isn't pulling back. God is continually investing in us. Continually stepping into our lives, continually saying yes to us. I believe in you. I want this for you. Yes, we have hardships, I know. God's going to be with us in all of those. Our giving is a reflection of what we believe. So there is room in us to live a bigger life than we are living, rather than continually thinking about what we don't have. Why don't we look at, just turn a little bit. When we turn a little bit, we're actually turning towards God. You know that? We're turning towards God's way and away from our own, way of compartmentalizing. We live into this great fullness. God, help us to live generously from what you're giving me all the time. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this day of remembrance, remembering those who have given their lives for us, but we're also remembering, Lord, that as you've given your life for us, our lives have been are blessed in amazing, tremendous, fantastic ways. And Lord, that we can, you give us the faith, you give us all the tools to live from this place of great fullness. Help your great fullness to settle in on us and for us to see and to respond from that place of grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.